Yo, 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 Tyler Scott doing his best imitation of Hugh Johnson. It is the Nerd AF crew back here tonight. Over here we have the wonderful, the incredible, as always, Richard Williams.
Hello, hello.
Coming through remote. He may sound a bit like Palpatine, but that's just because of the voiceover. Don't worry about it. We've got Hugh Johnson.
Hey, hey.
Like a sleazy sounding card shark. Okay, that's what you sound like right there. But
guys, I'm sorry.
What do you want me to do?
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight,
I'm
we,
sure it's sexy. I'm we sure it's sexy.
Recording live from Mexico, Hugh Johnson.
And tonight we are joined by the Dr. Jedi himself, Mr. Andrew Matranga.
Woo!
This is always very special for me.
Yay.
So thank you.
Very excited to have you on the show tonight, because guess what, folks? We are going to dive into Star Wars, because there's been so much happening in the galaxy far, far away. And so tonight we're going to cover a little bit on The Mandalorian. How do we like the series? How do we like Baby Yoda? It's really just Baby Yoda, the show, at this point. And everyone, buckle up, put on your big boy pants, your big girl pants, because we're going to talk Rise of Skywalker. And Lord have mercy.
It's going to get heated. But it's always nice and lovely.
That's right.
What?
That's good.
I tried. I hate y'all.
Between between Hugh's kind of skeevy little laugh earlier.
I know.
And that, man.
When
like,
you did that, I'm like this. I'm alone. Oh, shit. I messed up.
I know.
It's all good.
Matranga's looking at us like, what the hell did I sign up for?
Oh, I know what I signed up for. I signed up to talk about Star Wars, which is obviously has gripped popular culture in a way that I haven't seen in quite some time, actually, with these with these movies.
Should we start with you and what's going on right now? Because you are like the ultimate Star Wars.
I'm just a dork about Star Wars. What are you going to say, Tyler?
I was just going to say, Matranga, it's been a hot minute since the last time you were on the show. So would you mind just giving a little background for people who are maybe tuning in for the first time, why it is that you're here today?
Yeah, so this is my third time on Nerd AF. I obviously love this crew. I obviously come in to talk Star Wars. I don't know the video game and a lot of the other comic book stuff, I'll admit that, but my specialty is knowing Star Wars. I teach a class at the University of Denver called Studying Star Wars, Lessons from a Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Go to you.
That's right. Go Pios. And then I also, so I teach journalism and I also work in marketing, and I work for a company called Sticker Giant. And what's cool about working for a printing company like this, it's all popular culture, and I see so many fun designs. Like, I have a Baby Yoda sticker in my bag right now. So I get to see all these amazing designs all around the pop culture, especially related to Star Wars, all these mashups. So my background personally is as a Star Wars dork, for sure. And the last time I was here, which was, I don't know, a year and a half ago, we were talking a lot about Rogue One and Rebels, I feel, was just coming to a head. I think it was like season three or four of Rebels coming in. So anyway, I'm hot off of a speaking engagement at Ignite Boulder in December, where I did my Star Wars talk, which was very well received. And I was very proud of it, because I was able to work in my family and also my class. And also I got some laughs out of it, and that was fun. And that is currently up on the Ignite Boulder YouTube. It is Andrew Matranga Studying Star Wars Lessons from a Galaxy Far, Far Away. So that's where I come from. Thank you, as always, for letting me join you.
Of course, of course. Okay, so now that we've got the introductions out of the way, where do we want to start? Do we want to go Mandalorian first? We want to go to happy side, or do we want to go to the bad side and, you know, the dark side of all things?
Let's just get out of the way. Let's talk about Rise of Skywalker. Yeah,
we're gonna open with Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah,
oh boy.
Okay. In that case, Matranga, you're up to bat, buddy. What you got?
Well, hold on. Hey, Hugh.
Yes, sir.
How did you feel about this movie?
I thought it was pretty bad, man. Where to begin? My biggest gripe, which I'll get into a little bit later, is what they did to Rose. That to me makes the whole movie just kind of that really upset me, what they did to that character. But there are a couple more things. The stakes, the premise of this movie is just kind of trash. I just have to say it. The whole planet destroying weapons thing is way played out in Star Wars. Say what you will about Last Jedi and the most ridiculous chase scene in the world, I thought it had more tension. This idea that we've gone from a Death Star to the Death Star returning to a Death Star that can destroy multiple planets, now with Rise of Skywalker, every ship in the fleet has planet destroying weapons. It was just a little much. And then I appreciated how they kept the link between Kylo and Rey. I like the whole dyad of the Force. I think they messed around with being able to move tangible objects a little bit too much, and particularly including saber fights as a part of that. That got a little confusing for me when the real saber fight comes between them and Ben turns. Like, I was like, is he really there? Is he not there? I appreciated some of the moves they made with Rey's heritage. I thought making her a Palpatine was a stroke of genius.
Interesting take.
But overall, this movie is what I said it would be. It'd be a lot of retconning. It'd be too much to put into 3 hours. And it's a messy end for what's overall a messy trilogy. So there's that.
No, that's a good take. It's funny for me, as someone who loves the original trilogy so much, when you look at like Force Awakens, it's like all three of those movies in one. We do Ice Planet, we do this, we do that, and desert and all that. But then as far as Rise of Skywalker itself, what's interesting, what I didn't expect coming out of the movie was how much more I liked The Last Jedi. And yes. I didn't actually like it, right? Like, I didn't, and I've unfortunately have consumed way too much like Star Wars Twitter around this, so I understand the Rose thing. Like, that makes sense for a certain population of fandom, but at the same time,
I'm gonna go off on that in a second.
You can, but that's also like saying like, well, Lando didn't have too much to do. It's like Lando really didn't do that much in the original trilogy, right? Like, exactly. When you think about it, same thing with a Boba Fett too. It's like there's always gonna be marginal characters, and I don't mean marginal in like a demographic sense. I mean within a larger story arc. But Rose didn't do right by her because of the potential there and the relationship with Finn potentially. But for me, I was like, you know, at least The Last Jedi was like really challenging. And it challenged the audience in a way that like Star Wars originally in 1977 blew people away, right? Blew everyone away. And then Empire Strikes Back blew them away even further by challenging their expectations in the room. Yeah. And I think Last Jedi did that. And I think the slow chase obviously is like not the greatest plot conceit. But Rian Johnson, to his credit, actually used things that were within the canon of Star Wars, like force projection. And nobody wanted to see Luke Skywalker die, of course. But he did. And they did it in a tasteful way. And now when you look at the pop culture around Rise of Skywalker and the death of Ben Solo, people are like, how could he die? And it's kind of like, well, what? They didn't really give Adam Driver a lot to do other than run around kind of angry most of the time, it seemed.
He was basically an emo teenager for the like whole three whole movies.
And that's too bad because he's a waste of talent.
If you gave a teenager like genocidal abilities and let him loose in the world, that's what Ben Skywalker turned into. Ben Solo,
Rise of Skywalker. I mean, they gave him a little bit more to do.
They did.
Okay, his redemption arc is about the only redeeming factor I can find him in that entire movie.
I teared up.
Looked at me, because I saw it twice, and the first time I went by myself, opening night, and I was like, I hate this movie so much. And then I went back. I mean, other than I like C-3PO is great, you know, like, but like, come on, Rey is a Palpatine. That to me was not original. Neither is, of course, every ship with a planet-killing weapon. I went back with my son, and I will have to say, I saw it through his eyes, and he, at the end of the movie, he's like, my puny little mind is blown into a million pieces. And I'm like, you know, I'm not the audience for this, and I never really have been. So that to me meant a lot to hear him like walk away with awe of like a story being told. He's never seen a live Skywalker or a Star Wars movie unfold. He's seen stuff after the fact, like, oh, we went and saw Return of the Jedi like in theaters when they showed it a few years ago in Longmont. But for him to say that, I was like, man, I mean, they at least...
It's his Star Wars.
Right, it's his Star Wars. So it's hard for me to really... I mean, of course, here we are overanalyzing this, right? But, like, that to me meant a lot, so I don't know. I have very mixed emotions. I wake up in the middle of the night going, what in the fuck? Like, I swear to God, I'll wake up at 2 in the morning. Right, like, all right. I think about Ray.
All right, first of all, take a pill.
Okay. Right.
Here's the problem. It's, okay. It's not even it's just okay. though it's that like it. Yes, it's his Star Wars.
It is.
It's in part also our Star Wars. And the problem is that he had amazing these amazing ideas, these amazing little nuggets that he could have expanded on at any different point in time, but all of it fell flat.
Right.
Like, it's even the reveal that she's a Palpatine, that should have been massive. That should have been, like, on the same level as Darth Vader saying, Luke, I am your father. I know I'm butchering the quote. Please don't hate me.
But everyone knew she had to either be... I've been looking at the stuff.
But this is why Rian Johnson's take was so challenging. Because she could have been nothing.
Fantastic. And that was, it's like, and you don't have to be a part
of, I agree with Matrenga at this point. Right. Because looking at it in retrospect...
I'm not disagreeing.
It actually would have been an amazing thing if Rian Johnson's idea had continued. The fact that J.J. Abrams was like, no, we're going to rewind this and I'm going to do two movies worth of stuff. No, he didn't have his idea. He had Return of the Jedi.
He had his idea.
J.J. Abrams has no original ideas.
No, that's clear.
I have belief in that.
Okay, all right. We're going to stop because I like other movies he's done.
Which one?
Cloverfield.
All right, fine. Those are all obscure.
Those are nothing movies.
Here's the problem.
I don't even know anything about them.
When he's
jibbing, Cloverfield's amazing.
Okay, and Star Trek is fun, but it's the same thing. Like, it's the exact same things as the old movies. Like, he doesn't deviate from the formulas. He doesn't do anything new and original. Rian Johnson, in retrospect, you know, you saw it the first time, and you're like, what the fuck did I just watch? But now you see this, and you're like, I take it back. He was on the right track. J.J. Abrams was the one who was like, nah, we're taking this back to bland land.
Let's just say it. It's like, this is like the only ending that he's ever done right is Fringe, the TV series. Because he fucked up on Lost.
I've never seen Lost.
But everyone has told me that they hate him.
Yeah, so it's like, we entrusted a guy who doesn't know how to finish, like, one of the most important finishing acts of
movie history for quite some time.
And it flopped. It fell flat. There were so many little things that made no sense, or just hanging plot threads. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Finn going, I need to tell you something, Ray, and then never comes back.
What were you going to say?
It's that he's force sensitive. It's not even that he loves her. It's that he's fucking force sensitive. Why is that?
Why are we following that through like multiple acts?
Why is that information you would say?
It was a hot mess.
Yeah,
we got you.
Yeah, it was a hot mess. Sorry.
Go ahead, Hugh.
Point A to point B, it was a hot mess.
Chewie death tease, I hated that. Like,
oh yeah,
you pulled my heart out, and then you're like, oh,
right.
No, he's alive.
My
like,
son
no.
was
like,
so.
I was happy that he didn't die. Don't get me wrong.
Right. And one thing I have to say, I think overall though, when I look at like the way they rolled this out too, the trailers for this movie gave away so much stuff. It was one thing to have Ian McDiarmid at Celebration be like, roll it again, or whatever. You know, like, that was brilliant, right? Like,
that was really good, man.
Thank you.
You gotta say, do it. Just do it. Give us a do it.
Do it. Like, but then speaking on the Chewie thing, like, so you see that, like, Chewie and Lando are flying the Falcon in the trailer. I didn't think about it in the room when I was watching the movie. I'm like, wait a minute. Chewie's in the last battle. Like, how could he die, like, in the middle of the movie? Right? So, like, that trailer was stupid.
And that's the only scene that it happens. Oh, it doesn't show them doing the rest of it. There's no expounding beyond that. It's just, like, the exact same scene that was in the trailer was shot for shot, not a second longer or shorter. In the movie.
Right.
And it was just like, look at this cool thing. Okay, we're going to go off and look at this cool thing. And then we're going to look at this cool thing. And there was no depth to the entirety of it.
It felt like a video game where you have like all the cheat codes and they work every time. And then it turned it into like a superhero movie, which Star Wars, while Jedis are like have powers and stuff, it's not a superhero movie though, like in that classic sense. And so that's where for me, like, I was just... I don't know. It felt like it was moving so fast, and I don't know.
It moved way too fast.
I don't know.
That at least explains the ending.
I'm so torn about this.
Poe just went in and input the cheat code that said Infinite Army.
Right. And that's how I got it.
Pretty much. It's like, because, you know, there's, thinking about timing, like, yes, this is really overanalyzing, but at the same time, you're telling me that they had enough time to hop between multiple star systems, gather an army, and get back before everybody got fragged?
I don't know. Lando just kind of left.
I know. Lando was just like, peace. It was probably Chewie who was like, no. We're actually going to go do this, you jerk. Lando was probably like, I could just run away with the Falcon right now.
Yeah, I would have been fine. If Lando plays it like Donald Glover, if Lando plays it like Donald Glover back in Solo, he's out. Like, he's not coming back. He's like, I got the Falcon back after 40 motherfucking years. No way. Peace. Right. You guys can't win a war to save your life. I'm sick of this. Right. You know, my buddy's dead and his kid killed him.
If anything, have Lando show up and, like, put a cap in Kylo Ren from behind and just be like, that's for Han. Like, that would have been great.
With a cape. Yeah. Just like, throws his cape on.
The cape is done. The cape's
out.
Necessary. It really is necessary.
But cape is always necessary with that man.
Speaking of putting a cap in Kylo Ren, I did want to say one good thing I really enjoyed about this movie was the whole callback to how do you save someone you love from dying?
Yeah.
I think him using the force healing technique to transfer his energy to Rey at the end, that was very cool. And I definitely thought about Ian McDiarmid talking to Hayden Anakin. Christensen back in Revenge of the Sith when Anakin was going through the same thing with Padme.
Let's just talk about the little bit elephant in the room. It's like, when did the Mandalorian episode come out?
The week before.
That's right. Well, so Baby Yoda, like, freaking do force healing.
Yep. He did, but that also comes into play in the Mortis arc in the Clone Wars animated cartoon when Ahsoka dies. Then they're able to force heal her and bring her back to life. So there's, like, a canonical reference to that, but then I feel like they were like, okay, so they're doing this in The Mandalorian. We have to do it every time somebody dies in Rise of Skywalker so that nobody dies. You know what I mean? Sucks. That's how I felt.
Well, I think that's true, too, because, I mean, even with the Chewie pullback.
Like, they did. Nobody ever died.
Like, there was no stakes. Like, I know you guys said, like, it was wrenching to see Chewie die. I was just dumbfounded.
Right.
I'm like, There's no reason for that. Particularly because, like, you're watching.
Really, my son was, like, crying. He's like, he's dead.
No, I was watching. I was sitting there watching Rey and Kylo fight over the ship with their force powers. And I'm like, this is the stupidest scene I've seen in a long time. It's like, not even just logistically. It's like, okay, so you guys are just going to moodily stare at each other with your hands in the air while this is happening. And then it blows up. And I'm like, that was dumb. Like, that was just flat out dumb.
It did feel really forced.
Yeah, and then 10 seconds later, like, they didn't even let it sit for a few minutes to really let some emotional impact in. It was just like, oh, no, Chewie was in the other shuttle that you never saw on screen.
Someone went and did a frame-by-frame analysis, and they're like, we see the second shuttle. It's like, great. Why do we have to watch it that closely? Or why do we have to, like, read all these books and stuff, which I love to read the books, but, like, the general audience isn't watching that close. They're not reading the books. They don't know the ins and outs of the story. And if I'm in the general audience sitting there, I'm just, like, constantly being, like, whiplashed around by this movie. I wish I could almost, like, rewind my life to seeing it again and, like, being excited about it. But I don't know. Again, we all have so much wrapped up in this. That's the thing.
I'm okay with it, though. I mean, it's not, like, awesome to me, but I'm okay with it. I'm like, whatever.
There's this really great article that I was reading here, and it's all about the Rey thing. And we haven't talked much about Rey, and I just want to, like, give her... This from the 1138 blog, and this article is so good, actually, that talking about how she overcomes her fears and her lineage and how her not taking the Palpatine name is actually really, like, impactful. And there's a lot to be said for her character. And I think that ultimately, like, it her story kind of corrects some of the sins from the prequels and Anakin's problematic relationship with his mother, and then also Luke's with his father, and then how, you know, Kylo Ren is sort of atoning with his mother. And of course, we could talk about how poorly drawn the Leia character is. That's obviously one of the greatest pains in my heart. Yeah, they didn't have a choice. Hands are tied. That's the part where it's hard to, like, really dig deep, but there's all these little threads of family ties and Rey's lack thereof and how she's coming into her own. And, you know, a lot of the people on Star Wars Twitter are, like, really pissed about how, like, she took the Skywalker name and she's a Palpatine. And that's fine. Those are fans being fans, but this article on the 1138 blog, I read it this afternoon before coming here, and I was like, you know, I kind of feel differently about this movie. And if I read it, like, I'm not going to read it on the podcast. That seems terrible. But I just highly recommend reading it for those who are jaded about this like me. I'm going to reread it again, too. It's helping me cope with how that worked out for her because
need therapy.
I do. I swear to God, like, I don't know.
So are
don't
you? Blame me, really let me don't. Let me get this straight. Are you upset that she took the Skywalker name?
Or I just wish she was just saying, "I'm Rey."
Yeah,
Rey? You know what I mean.
No, I agree with that, and
because that's how she was throughout the rest of the thing.
But I will say this: it's like, and it became personal for me because it's like this. I am adopted. My family, their name is Smith.
There you go.
And I didn't take the Smith name. Oh. And they were just like, what? You okay. know? And I'm like this. I go, look, the first Richard Williams Sr. was a piece of shit.
Okay.
He is not a good person. I go, that's why I call myself Richard Lee Williams the second.
Interesting.
Because it's the second time
there you go.
I can get this name right.
Sure.
Because the first person didn't
do it right.
Injustice to
that's,
it.
No, I appreciate so, that.
So, and a name is very, very important to some people. It's important to me, and that's why I have the name that I have right now. Right. So, when she did that, I was just like this. I go, that's the name that you want.
That's
the name.
When I'm in the room, I'm like, cool. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, when I'm watching, I'm like, cool. I mean, I love Skywalker. It's a great name.
Right. You know what I mean? Well, and I think they, in a way, kind of raised her a little bit. I mean, not like raised her, but like raised her in helping her deal with this is who you are.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's a very personal and a beautiful thing. And that's what she chose.
Totally. So, right, I mean, but the script is what dictated. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I know. I'm just like, let's just.
I did love away. Like the narrative closure.
She chose that name, and that's powerful to me. A name that you choose to have is a very powerful thing.
No, yeah, she took agency of her own anyway, experience. I like that take. I do, and that's just, what this article kind of.
That's why
talks
I
about.
Love that when she did it, and she buried those lightsabers.
That was dope.
And she had her yellow one.
It was
and
dope.
She goes,
when that happened,
like, this is a new. This is a new Skywalker. Yeah.
And she's talking to that old lady just like it. In Force Awakens when she's that. Looking at the old lady. And her story, like, when you think about it, kind of ties up nicely in a bow in that regard across the sequel trilogy. Right. For what it's worth, not that we're talking so much smack about Abrams, but there was a few nice nods and then the Tatooine sunset with BB-8.
Right.
Like, there was some cool stuff. And like when it ends, it's like, wow. Gutting, you know, like it's over.
And even like the deeper cut of all of the different Jedi voices
that was so
talking
sick.
To her.
I thought that was beautiful.
Well, because you could hear Samuel L. Jackson, which I'm surprised he didn't drop like a mother effer in there somewhere. I'm a little sad
missed,
by that. Like that
I
was amazing.
The
but like hearing Yoda's
purple
voice.
Lightsaber.
And then for those of you who have watched like Rebels and watched the Clone Wars, you could hear the other Jedi through all of that.
Supposedly,
and so,
like Star Wars fans are crazy how they called all those people back and shot them, and they have footage of them, and they didn't incorporate like the actual Force ghosts of them behind her. And if they actually shot that, like
that would have been
what are
powerful.
They doing not putting that in?
That
maybe they choose
powerful.
It as an
amazing.
Edit. That would have like
that
blown
been,
the roof
right,
off, right?
No,
so
like,
that's
absolutely.
Where I'm like. And then of course there's all these conspiracy theories about Disney this and Disney that and release the JJ cut, which I think is
the JJ.
The JJ cut is what we saw, right? Yeah. Like I mean that's what
we
saw. We
did see it.
We did, like for what it's worth. And Hugh, I don't know if you feel this way or not, but what we saw was that cut, right? And so it's hard.
How
to,
do you feel, Hugh?
I definitely feel like we saw the JJ cut. I don't think this is like I guess that's a reference to the Snyder cut with Justice League. I felt we saw JJ's vision for this. I don't know, that whole sequence, that was probably the coolest part of that whole final fight. It just wasn't all that engaging or exciting to me, that whole end battle with Palpatine. Just shooting lightning at her and getting beaten by an attack that has been countered. We've seen it. Mace Windu countered it with one lightsaber. She uses two, and that's the end of the Sith. I don't know. Like it was.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, and can he come back? That's my other thing. Is like, so
yeah.
Can he come back again? Like, what's the third final order or whatever?
Right.
You know, like I don't know.
That was probably if JJ got all three movies. It was going to be like one Palpatine, and then the final movie was like four Palpatines.
I do like the whole like first order to final order, if that was always the intention. Like, that's a neat storytelling conceit. And if you do read like the comics, you do, and also like a lot of the old stuff, like Palpatine or even the new canon novels, Palpatine had contingencies. He has Operation Cinder. He has in Jakku, like inside the planet, like he has this whole like portal to another dimension in there when you read the Aftermath trilogy. Mm-hmm. So he actually, a lot of this stuff is borrowed from the current canon. So I appreciate that Palpatine wasn't dead in a sense, but the whole like robotic limb thing is just
Shadow of the Empire, yes. I think it was, by Timothy Zane, if I'm remembering the right author. They
his
did
clones,
that.
Right?
Yeah, it was his clones.
There's
it was
Emperor's clones.
And Luke had to go kill his clones.
Correct.
Right. And so it's just like...
That is part of the Star Wars lore. Well, that's why that works. That part works in a sense.
Out of curiosity, though, is it because we've just explored Star Wars lore so much... I mean, there's an entire extended universe.
Like, Dark Horse comic books.
Do you think that just all of the really decent ideas have been mined, and so JJ was just like, I can't come up with anything better, so I'm just going to use what's something, here? Yeah. Or do you really think like JJ was just like, phoned it in, we just got to do something for fan service? Because it felt way more fan service-y to me than like original.
It did. No, I agree with you on that. Go ahead.
The Knights of Ren especially, like... What?
Oh my God! Why
they got done
fucking
dirty?
Nothing.
Yeah. Like, they were a boy band.
Well, particularly that one that's like fighting Kylo Ren with an axe. You're just like, you poor son of a bitch. Like, I don't know why you got the short end of the stick for your weapon choice here, but you're going against a lightsaber with an axe. Like, you've made poor life choices. Poor life choices.
There's some people that have done some really great screen caps of that final battle right after he gets Kylo or Ben or whatever.
Gets the lightsaber.
He does the shrug, like the Han Solo shrug. If you watch it in slow mo, just like Han does, kind of like this.
I love that.
I'm doing, you know, friends in the audience or listening. He does kind of the arms up and
Return of the Jedi when they take over.
Yeah, right.
When they take over the Force Moon Bunker. Go watch that and look for the shrug.
Right, so that shrug is echoed. So there's like some really Adam Driver like nailed that.
But they were friends. They were very much. Anyway.
Yeah, no, he nails that shrug and then he just cuts all those dudes down. You know what I mean? So, like, there's some cool things that I'm clearly, in case you can't tell, I'm very conflicted about this. Right. And I do need to go see it again. And let's not forget that in 1983, people kind of hated Return of the Jedi.
They really did.
They kind of did.
And people hated Episode 1 when it came out.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, people were, like, burning their Star Wars stuff. I mean, it tanked so hard in 99. Yeah. So it's tough to say because, like, now I have colleagues that I work with who grew up on those prequels, and they're their favorite Star Wars for that reason. And they're like, seeing this Rise of Skywalker in the sequel trilogy has made me appreciate the prequels even more. I'm like, great. That's what Star Wars is to people, though. And that's hard to sort of negotiate, I think.
But
that's
there's
the hard
just,
part.
Like, different audiences.
There are.
It's like... These three, that's the one I grew up on.
Right.
The prequels, these, and I was 3 years old.
My
parents
in the OT.
Me. Right.
Yeah, I went to Return of the Jedi in the third. I was four years old.
I was that kid, you know? And then, like, these, it's going to be a different set of kids. And
right.
This is going to be their Star Wars.
And that's what my Ignite talk was really all about, this is our generational myth, and I'm passing it down to my children, just like my dad passed it down to me. And it's still pretty epic. I mean, let's face it, Star Wars is still rad. I mean, as much as we hate on this movie, can we just say that we love that
Star Wars, like, they kept it going. They're going to keep it going. It's not going to be Skywalkers.
Right.
It's going to be different stuff, like The Mandalorian.
Let's go ahead, just really quick, last thought on The Rise of Skywalker for everybody. So, Matrenga, kick off first.
I need to see it again, and I need to just keep thinking about it. I will probably continue to wake up in the middle of the night screaming. I think that's just going to happen.
Sounds good. Hugh, how about you, bud?
Yo, man, I got to talk about Rose, and I don't know if that's a real quick thought.
Do it.
Go for it. You got it.
2 minutes, buddy. Go for it.
Do it.
Oh, okay. Like, I think she gets, like, a grand total of a minute 16, kind of figured out. I don't know. I've tried to look online that maybe after what happened with Last Jedi, Kelly Marie Tran, the actress, didn't want to do much. It just looks like a capitulation to just some of the worst aspects of Star Wars fandom, or any fandom in general, really. And I can't abide that, because I don't even know if Jar Jar got nerfed this hard. Like, it's ridiculous what they did to this character.
Yeah. I think he got nerfed pretty hard.
I think it completely destroys Finn's narrative and Finn's storyline. I just... How we feel about that? Like, she was one of the first... I think she was the first, like, woman of color to have a big role in a Star Wars movie. And she wrote, like, an op-ed about in the New York Times about her harassment. And I feel like just by them doing this, they gave power to the trolls. Like, by them scaling her back so much. I wanted to know how y'all felt about that.
I don't love that, if that is the case. You know what I mean? Like, I think both her and Daisy Ridley were not really well treated, because if you look at the way
or
the fans,
Finn,
the fandom menace, right? That's what that is.
Or Finn. I mean,
right. Boyega did not.
Stormtroopers aren't black, and like, I'm like, are you kidding me?
How do you know?
I'm like, X-ray vision. After a period of time, they quit using clones and they start using other races.
Who were Samoan or whatever, right?
Like, right. I'm like,
the original character.
He's Samoan.
Oh, isn't that what? he's
in Moana. Like, he's probably some version of that, right? Like,
no, I don't know the ethnicity of that.
Jango's in Moana.
Yeah, Jango plays he's the voice of the chief. He is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the voice of the chief. Yeah, he's the voice
of the
chief.
I thought that he was a Polynesian sort of island.
And he's Aquaman's dad.
Oh, God.
So there you go. So let's start debating who can be what now, right? No, I do agree.
Yeah, that's a good take. Really quick, out in the ethernet is Brad, Force Ghost Brad, was liking my take and my tweet on that article talking all about Rey's journey. So just so you know, Brad is with us right now.
Yay, Force Ghost Brad!
A thousand generations of Brad are with us.
Okay.
Final thoughts, Richard.
You know what? I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I was just like this. I go, it just seemed like it was a rushed thing, and they just wanted to go like this. Like, I don't think it was just the director. I think the actors were so sick of being...
Yeah, look at Oscar Isaac.
I love that man. But he did a good job. Can I just say one thing? Oscar Isaac fought hard for Finn.
Yes, to ship that storm pilot.
Right. So for Finn and him to be like a couple. And I was like this. You know what? That would have been kind of fucking awesome.
It would have been.
It would have made a damn point.
It would have.
And it would have been like this. It's like, because everybody... All the queer, gay, LGBTQ people have been wanting to see.
Yeah, like gay that kiss.
How did
like
you feel throwaway? About
it? Right, it was nice.
And that was like a throwaway because she wasn't even really a character, and it was just like she. I'm gonna leave it.
There you go.
I was not happy.
All right.
Right, and they cut that like in the Singapore release or something too, which is a damn shame.
Heart. Oscar Isaac really fought. He's like, I really want to be with. It was like, these are two straight men. They're like, this is like, yeah, let's do this. And Disney fought it.
Yeah, well,
fought it hard. Right. So right. Anyway, so
I think we've got it.
We got it.
It was a whole bunch of weird. So we'll have to go see it again. All right, before we shift to another area of the galaxy, quick shout out from our good friend Andrew Matranga.
That's right. The Nerd AF podcast is now being hosted on Anchor, which is a really cool podcasting platform if you haven't checked it out. Speaking of really cool podcasts, I happen to be the host and producer of a show called Stickers on the Mic from StickerGiant.com, where we talk about business, growth, and marketing with our customers. And for all of you folks out there listening, if you're really interested in printing your own fun stickers, use my coupon, STICKWITHANDREW, to take 15% off your next order. And lastly, if you really love how deep we're getting into Star Wars, check out my class at the University of Denver. The website is studyingstarwars.com. And of course, on Twitter, it's #studyingstarwars. Thank you so much to everybody out there listening to Nerd AF. This is the best fucking podcast out there.
Moving on.
Boom.
Yo! Let's talk Mandalorian.
Mandalorian!
Or more appropriately, the Baby Yoda show.
Right.
The Baby Yoda show.
The Baby Yoda
show. Has there been a show where you're willing to fast forward just to watch the concept art at the end credits.
I've never been so happy. I don't think so.
I'm like, all right, I'm done. Next show. This,
that
I'm
is
like,
so beautiful.
I'm like, let's just sit here and watch this artwork.
Right. No,
amazing.
I'm with you.
Amazing.
I mean, the artwork, the music, like the music, it's so minimalistic and so good. And they do all the Western cuts, like from the original trilogy. Wipes. Yeah. The like wipes, it wipes the wipes. Side, the circle wipe. And you're just like, this feels so nostalgic and wonderful.
But new.
In a lot of different ways, and at the same time, like starting to like bring some of the canon forward, like seeing Mandalorians like fight in action. That you're just
episode
like, oh my
three
God.
With the jetpacks out of control.
Can I just say
that was out
doesn't
of control?
It remind you of like the Rifleman and those old?
Oh, it's all John Ford.
Oh yeah,
because
it's John.
Uh-huh. They kind of did like the cartoon like art and stuff like that at the beginning or the end.
Yeah.
The only reason I know this is because my dad's the biggest John Wayne Western. Like fan ever of everything,
but even the stories, even the stories were
the Hidden like, Fortress, the village episode. That's just straight samurai.
That well, it's 100% Magnificent Seven. It's like I was waiting for the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly to show up. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good, and it kind of did towards the end. Like you had the good with Queel, you had the bad with Kara, and then you have the ugly with the Mandalorian because he took off his helmet. And you're like, maybe the helmet still isn't on him, but.
Oh,
I'm kidding. Like I like. I think Pedro Pascal has done an amazing job.
No, I can't. Wait
yeah,
to
like
see
just
him
like his
Wonder
head
Roman,
tilt and stuff.
1984.
Go ahead, Hugh.
Go ahead, Hugh.
No, I was just agreeing about Pedro Pascal.
Disagreeing or agreeing?
No, he's agreeing. Like I mean, agreeing, his ability agreeing. To
agreeing. Okay.
And like I was saying before we started, like clearly Favreau is really good at writing a guy in a metal suit, and he's done a good job with that. Like this show is spot on.
Dave Filoni.
Well, Filoni writes the whole thing, obviously. Right. He's like clearly the one making sure that everything is dialed in with the way Star Wars is supposed to work.
Well, and I got to give a quick shout to Taika Waititi.
Oh!
Because both as a director for those episodes, like his episodes I think were my favorites.
There were two, right? There
two. He had the first one, I believe. I think each one that had IG-11 in it.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so, but particularly the last one. Because, like, you had these transformative moments where you actually care so much about his characters. And I'm just like, that's Taika Waititi. It was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I was concerned. When the show first started, it seemed like it was just going to be these one-shot episodic things that didn't really build anything. Well, but it took until, like, episode 7 or 8.
There's
until
it thread. I mean, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it's like this. They have these one-offs, but they have this thread going through the whole season. There's, like, something that happens that's going to lead back to the end. That happened.
The thread was super light, though. I feel like through this one,
I loved it. It was.
I just
well, it's
I was concerned.
It's episodic
I was concerned.
Television, though, too, right? Like some of the threads come back. We see Kara come back, and but then of course, I don't know. I think it built on itself really well.
I think so too. It's just like I said. I think the first 4 episodes or so, I was worried because I could not see.
I think
by
episode 4, I was kind of like, this is getting a little. Episode 3 was the jetpacks, right? The way that ended.
I think that was episode 2.
I feel like
he goes back.
Go ahead, Hugh.
Episode two was just, for me, just kind of a throwaway. I mean, it's the one you figure out that Baby Yoda has
the
Force powers, but like,
oh, that's
really
right, he has to get off
that.
The planet.
No,
he kills the Jawas and all that stuff.
But with the Mudhorn, I mean,
the
it goes
Mudhorn,
back to the end. That's his signet now. I mean, there was a purpose for it.
Yeah, but at the time, it still runs slow because.
Oh, at the time,
to me, it's like I don't really understand why. The Mandalorian is doing this. Like, I think of a bounty hunter. I think of someone who's very hardened. And so why is this guy all of a sudden going against all his rules? Well, it turns out he has this whole honor code system. And that stuff is not really built in. Like, I feel there are very few clues at the beginning of the show. Like, at least some shows will give you kind of like a piece of what the character... what's important to the character, but... You don't kind of get anything until later on. Okay, like, now I understand why he did all this stuff, but it's kind of hard to follow at first.
No, and I can understand that, and I'm coming from a different point of view as a foster kid, and it's just very much just like this. He saw Baby Yoda
in himself,
and
vice versa, yeah.
And I saw that at the very beginning, where he was like this.
The constant flashbacks to his. That's why he doesn't like droids. That's why he's on his own.
It's like this, and he's angry, and he's just mad at things, and it's like this. But when you get certain people in your life, it's like this. You start to change a little bit. You see things a little bit differently, especially when people help you, and you wouldn't think certain people would help you and care about you. And I got it at the beginning, and I guess I'm coming from it from a different point of view, but I just thought it was so beautiful since the beginning. And I saw it, and I saw him going like this. He goes, he was even trying to be mean and like, whatever, that's not a toy. You know, I thought it was sweet, and I thought it was beautiful. Yeah. And anyway, that's my take on it.
Yeah, Taika ends up doing just episode 8. I was just looking this up really quick. We had another director. The name was what's his name? Rick Famuyiwa.
He
was the one who did 2 and episode 6 or something. So ultimately, it's a cool cast of characters. They're doing a good job with directors. They're doing a good job with writing. The art is amazing. The music is amazing, but. Episode 8, right? The Darksaber comes back. Like, there's some stuff that is just incredible.
Rebels.
That is like, it's Rebels, it's Clone Wars. It's like bringing it all together, and it's pretty masterful. I mean, I'm obviously like an uber geek about this stuff, but like, I think even the general audience is gonna be like, wait, what is this? And it kicks people to want to learn more about it. So that maybe it's creating like new Star Wars fans. Like, a lady that I work with like Star Wars. She has young kids, and they grew up in the 90s, and she's raised her kids on Star Wars, kind of. But she's downloading crochet patterns on Etsy to make custom handmade Baby Yodas. And I'm like, she's like, oh, look, I made a Baby Yoda. I'm like, when are you going to give this to me? When are you going to sell these? You can make $150 a piece on. She's like, no. I'm like, no. We went on Etsy right then. People are selling these things for $50, $100. Now, Disney's going to shut them down, of course. So, but at the same time, look at the history of Star Wars. Lucasfilm, while very controlling of their IP, also has allowed this fandom to develop into this crazy madness that we're doing right now. Like, we're talking about Star Wars.
This is just gold in their pocket. Yes.
And so that's what the Mando has done at a time where the fandom clearly needs something to latch onto. Saying goodbye to the Skywalkers after 9 movies and all this stuff has been really painful, clearly. You could see it. You can hear it in my voice.
Right.
But then we're talking about Baby Yoda and all of our eyes light up and the Mando, and it's like, I don't know. We're in a good, really good place for Star Wars content with new Rebels coming out. There's like a reprise and Clone Wars season 7 coming out.
Yeah,
we're pretty excited, stoked. And the new books I'm reading, I've read a bunch of books that are tied
Have
in.
You?
Oh, I've read about 10 in the last, since I last saw you guys, I've probably read like 10 Star Wars books.
That is awesome.
So Aftermath trilogy, the Thrawn trilogy is amazing. If someone is out there listening and they're like, I really like Star Wars, but I don't know this and I'm not happy about this, literally go to the books. There is some incredible storytelling going on that is worth your time and your money. I don't know. I've been binging reading on these Star Wars books. I've even went back and bought The Making of Star Wars from 1977 and the book that talks all about making the first movie. If your fandom needs a little bit of a rekindling, the books is where it's at, because if you go back to the back in the day, what really kicked off Star Wars was the first novelization from Alan Dean Foster in 1977 is what came out before the movie. And that's really, the books is where some of the best storytelling for Star Wars has always been. So my little public service announcement is that if you're like me, find a Star Wars book. I almost guarantee it's going to make you happy again.
Okay. Awesome. Well,
sorry to dominate.
No, that's good. That's good. We're going to actually cut it right there for timing's sake. And so I think we're going to do just some quick takeaways. I think taking a conversation off of our Twitter as we were talking about what we all saw as kind of the essentials when it came to seeing Star Wars and really experiencing Star Wars at its best. And I think let's close it out with just, you know, 30 seconds. What do you think is like your favorite? What would you say is the best entry point to go learn Star Wars, see the best of the best? So, Hugh, I'm going to kick that one to you.
Yeah.
Entry point to learn Star Wars, man. For me right now, I am about to start playing Jedi Fallen Order. I've seen a couple streams of it. Like, I've heard some great things about it. Unfortunately, this cold has kind of kept me away from it, but I'm looking forward to booting it up here pretty soon. But entry point, man, I would just start with the movies. Like we've said, maybe it's just looking back at it in the rearview mirror, but they kind of seem to quote-unquote get better with time. So might be opportunity to just, now we have Disney Plus, just go 1 through 8, and then when Rise of Skywalker comes out, you can hit up number 9 as well.
True story.
Yeah.
Thanks, you, Richard? No, you want to go? Okay.
Okay, so obviously you have a pretty core audience of Star Wars faithful, but right now the place to go to me is Star Wars Rebels. Like, it is just incredible. I've talked about it on the show ad nauseum. I love it so much.
You and I both. We
but
love it.
It for me, like, it just captures that spirit of rebellion, and it really leads you into movies like Rogue One and A New Hope. And it feels very natural, and it's like the lived-in universe of Ralph McQuarrie writ large, and the arc of Ezra Bridger is actually pretty amazing. When you talk, it's another orphan kid on a desert-like planet, and Ahsoka of course comes in to spoil the whole thing. Thanks, trying to like help people out,
trying to be all nice about it. Richard's just like, let's spoil it.
But no, I'm all about the books, but Star Wars Rebels, maybe it's because my son and I have bonded so much. He was Ezra for Halloween. He got Santa brought him the Ezra lightsaber blaster thing that, like, is super sick. So anyway, that's where I'm at. Thank you, as always, for letting me on the show, guys. I appreciate you giving this much time to someone like me to talk about my geeky passion.
Not a problem. Richard, how about you, man?
First of all, I just want to say the Ghost, the ship from Rebels,
number one,
was in Rogue One,
and
as well as
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
Pretty cool tie-in.
It made me really, really excited. My geek card exploded. I love Rebels. That was like my cartoon, man. I don't know. You know, I didn't hate Rise of Skywalker. I loved The Mandalorian.
It is actually a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I know, like, it's split down the middle and everyone's hating. It's so polarized right now, but I literally...
That's America.
True. Yeah.
Doesn't matter the subject.
Yeah. It's polarized. True enough. But, like, my friend Clay, one of my besties, Clay and Aaron, came over, and they hadn't seen The Mandalorian, and they're just like, ugh. And I'm like this. I go, give it 3 episodes. And then it's like this on the third one. They go like this. Are those Boba Fett's people? And I'm like this. I go, it's a whole thing. I go, I'll explain it later. And they were just like, oh my God, Baby Yoda. And I'm like this. We all kept going like, it was, I wish you could be here. We were just like this. Oh. Like every
time. So are you saying Mandalorian or are you saying Rebels for yours?
I can't choose. It's good. Like they're okay. So good.
That'll work. You want to just take them both and say
I love them both.
That works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for me, I got to go Clone Wars on Ooh. This. For
the oh, and Clone Wars too.
For the anime,
I can't choose.
I just think that
so much.
Richard,
so
you
much
can't.
Content.
Richard, you
so
can't rich. Keep adding on stuff. Okay. You got it's two. So you got two. We're gonna
do so one. Delicious.
No, that's a good pick. And my son is still like halfway through it, and like there are new generations of fans that are falling in love with Star Wars because of that animated series, and I'm psyched for season 7.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think just the exploration of the Jedi, the exploration of the idea behind the clones, and everything that they went through. Through and just as like soldiers in a war trying to deal with their own identities, and then seeing like all the conflict of the Jedi being peacekeepers but being generals, and then Ahsoka Tano's arc. I mean, it's so just sick. It's heart-wrenching the entire way through. I still cry when I watch the final episode, and it's just like I cannot wait for season 7. So
the trailer was out of control. If you watched
it. Love the rest of it. But I got to go Star Wars Clone Wars animated series for that. So
great pick.
That's it for me. Right. But I think that's it for everybody. So thank you, one and all, for joining us. This has been Tyler Scott filling in for Palpatine sounding Hugh Johnson. We out.
You've done well.
Do it.
We're all like this.
4:20 is a production of F420 and is produced and directed by Andy Caldwell. Our hosts this week are, as always, Richard Williams, Tyler Scott, and Hugh Johnson.